Okay, I will call this regular meeting of this planning commission to order. The first thing on our agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance led by Commissioner McCormick. Thank you very much, Commissioner McCormick. At this time, we will start public comments. Members of the public may address the commission on matters not listed on the agenda, which are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the commission, provided that no action may be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law, and public comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker.
Chair, we need a roll call, please.
Oh, just kidding, yeah. Roll call. I forgot. Would staff please call roll?
Certainly, thank you and good evening. Commissioner Martinez.
Martinez present.
Thank you. Commissioner McCormick.
Here.
Thank you. Commissioner Vasquez.
Present.
Thank you. Commissioner Maldonado. She is absent this evening. Commissioner Tucker.
Here.
Thank you. Vice Chair Leslie.
Here.
Thank you. And Chair Vejar.
Here.
Excellent. Thank you. I'd like the record to reflect we have a quorum tonight.
Thank you very much. So now we'll move on to public comment. And at this time, members of the public can address the commission on matters not listed on the agenda that are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the commission, provided that no action may be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law, and public comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Do we have any public comments tonight? Okay. Then we will move to the consent calendar. All matters listed under the consent calendar are considered to be routine by the Planning Commission and will be enacted by one motion. There will be no separate discussion of the items unless a member of the Planning Commission or staff requests a specific item to be removed from the consent calendar. Do we have a motion for the consent calendar?
I move to approve this consent calendar.
We have a motion.
I have a second.
And a second. Everyone could please vote. The motion passes unanimously. The next item on the agenda is a public hearing to consider an ordinance modifying the duties and responsibilities of the Design Review Committee and finding of CEQA exemption. Is there a staff presentation?
There is, and I'm pleased to introduce myself, Hayden Backman, Planning Manager. All right, thank you. This evening, we are presenting an item that was directed to staff via council direction at the August 12th public hearing. It is a request to prepare an ordinance that would modify the existing design review process. Currently, the discretionary review and approval for certain development projects is subject to the DRC purview, and the proposed ordinance would focus that review purview to only those projects involving historic resources. Next slide, please. And currently, the DRC reviews all development projects, with the exception of some minor projects that qualify for what's called administrative design review, or ADR. The DRC's purview includes both historic and non-historic properties. Next slide, please. Under the proposed ordinance, historic properties would be considered anything within a district on the city's inventory or properties that are 50 years old and determined by staff to be historic. I'd like to note that there would be no change in this process under the proposed ordinance. However, for non-historic properties, the ordinance would revise those projects to now be subject to administrative design review, which includes all new development, major modification to existing structures and signs. Next slide, please. The key benefits of the proposed ordinance are that it would balance the goals of historic preservation with the need for a more efficient review process. That being said, it would support economic development and result in a streamlined development review process. This results in reduced time and cost burdens for the most common types of new development. Next slide, please. In the staff report, there are a couple of clarifications we'd like to identify for the Planning Commission tonight. We did state in the staff report that the non-historic demolition within a district would not require DRC review. It would, and currently only in Old Town is the identifying marker. under the proposed ordinance, all historic properties would then be the qualifier. So that's a clarification. Staff is also recommending a further revision to section 1714270. That's the small lot subdivision section. And there's a reference under that section, item C2, which staff is recommending that the requirement for DRC review for these types of requests also be revised under the ordinance. Finally, we'd like to also recommend that the language throughout the draft ordinance, where we're referring to structures, we would then refer to them as properties, and that's for broad applicability. Next slide, please. Finally, staff is recommending approval of the draft ordinance with previously mentioned revisions to the City Council. We're tentatively targeting the October 28th public hearing at City Council. That concludes staff's report. We are available for any questions or comments from the commission.
Do any commissioners have questions for staff?
I have a question. On that last slide, it was a change by saying that it went from structures versus property. What does that mean?
So the draft ordinance mentions properties in the context of a historic structure. And we have, through discussion with some community members, realized that that's a little specific. And so for the clarity of the ordinance, we'd like to convert the structures reference to a properties. And that makes it a more broad application of the designation of what's considered historic, because there may be non-structural elements of an existing site that provide historic context, and that would need to be recognized.
So does that mean if there's any structures beyond the primary structure, that those would be considered property?
Well, I guess yes and no. There could be context that's important, such as the person who may have built the structure or somebody of historic significance that could have occupied the structure. But largely, when we're referring to structures, I think we commonly refer to a primary residence, an accessory structure like a garage or a shed or something like that. Of course, that's in the residential context, but this ordinance would also apply to any potential commercial or industrial buildings. And so that application would be consistent with what I think the purview goal is of the ordinance.
Is that action reviewed by the planning staff or planning staff and DRC?
To which action are you referring?
You just talked about earlier.
Oh, okay. The action of recognizing historic significance. Yeah. So that really isn't an action. It's more of a determination based on existing information. I'm sorry, what was the final part of your question?
I guess I'm getting to the point. Who makes that determination?
Maybe I could jump in here.
Thank you.
Can you ask the question more, a little bit more specific of what determination you're speaking of?
The determination on if there's anything other than the primary structure considered on the properties that is a structure. Who makes that determination, and on what basis is that made?
Sure. So I think what we're clarifying, I think there's two separate issues maybe that are maybe being blended into one. The first comments, and I think which was part of the staff presentation by our planning manager, Hayden Becken, is the staff report referenced structures. We wanted to change that term in the ordinance to reflect it as properties. There are going to be some properties that have potentially a tree or a landscape feature or a fence, and we didn't want to limit our terminology in our ordinance to just structure. Structure could have applied to a principal structure or an accessory structure, but the goal of the ordinance is not to limit it to a structure. So we just wanted the ordinance to reflect properties. And that was the only clarification for this particular
line item. Coming from what you just said, that would mean the whole property is subject for review.
Potentially, yes. Okay. That's why we didn't want to leave it as just structure.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question. What criteria does staff use to decide if a 50-year-old property, something on a property, qualifies as historic?
Madam Chair, can I add on to that question? That's okay. And when is that determination made? Is that made before application? And what role does the city's historic resources survey have to play in that? And is that the same thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think we're kind of cutting to the chase here of maybe what maybe one of the largest concerns this evening is, are we going to miss out on a potentially historic structure by making this revision to the ordinance? And so maybe I could just kind of jump in there. We do have a current process. So through our, whether or not the project is subject to the action that needs to be made by design review committee, or the action needs to be made by the administrative design review, which would be the director or the appointed person. I do have a slide, and maybe this will be helpful as well. So whether or not the project goes to design review committee or is reviewed by the director, staff has to do analysis. And we would do that whether or not the project was going to a public hearing or the determination was going to be made by staff. That includes staff doing any research that we would normally do on a project, looking at old permits, any permits we have on the property itself, looking at the project, and if we have any questions about whether or not the project is historic. We don't have a historic preservation planner on our staff right now, but we do have a consultant that we do meet with weekly that we run by all of our questions. So there isn't a, if you're asking, is there a determination made as staff as to whether or not something is historic? The action is actually taken by the administrative design review decision or by design review committee. When that action is made, that's when you would see whether or not something was being reviewed as something that is historic or something that is being reviewed not as historic. As staff does our own work, we don't present that information to the design review committee or to staff. It's how we process an application. So maybe what would be the next question, and I think it was somebody had asked it, I think maybe you in your notes is maybe, is it something appealable? And that also would not change. So when staff reviews a project, the same conditions of approval that go in front of the design review committee apply, the same findings apply, the same expiration date apply. And we also do a 10-day notice prior to the action where we do a 300-foot mailing radius and posting of the site. All of those things would apply. The only thing that changes is whether or not staff reviews it or it comes to the board. And I could add to that, and I hate to add to it, but staff already does this for remodels or facade changes to existing commercial buildings. There are already actions that are that staff approves that are not subject to the design review committee's public hearing. The administrative design review process already is available for minor projects. And so we already do this.
And so I have another question, which I think may have been answered in the presentation, but my question was about the non-contributing structures in a historic district. So staff doesn't have the ability to decide that a non-contributing structure in the historic district or on a property with a historic building, but this one's non-contributing. Staff doesn't have the sole determination of demolition of those.
So that is one of the things that should be discussed here by the Planning Commission this evening. Currently, the municipal code reads that anything in Old Town, if there is demolition proposed, would come in front of the design review committee. That is a current code requirement. One of the items that we're updating in our code would determine whether something is historic or non-historic. If it's historic, and anything in Old Town is in the historic district, so that would still go to design review committee. But our new ordinance would also loop in any of the other Eichler districts and anything that's on the inventory or anything that's over 50 years old and determined by staff. It would need a public hearing review.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. And then can you give some examples of what projects would still go to design review committee and what types of projects would no longer go to design review committee, just so that way we can get a better understanding, if, especially if there are like more recent projects that we've seen, that would be helpful to kind of put it into context.
Sure. So anything that's in Old Town, in Eichler District, on the inventory, or over 50 years and determined by staff to be historic, would go to design review. So in the grand scheme of historic preservation, staff would say no change. Anything else, and I would say to that, projects like the vet hospital, I'm trying to think of newer projects, things like the vet hospital, that was on, was that East Chapman? That project went to design review committee. That project, since it's not historic, didn't involve the demolition of a historic structure, wasn't in a district, not on the inventory, would not need design review public hearing. It would be done by administrative design review. Again, same conditions of approval, same findings need to be made, same expiration date, same mailing of 300-foot radius, and same 10 days prior to the action. All those items would still apply. It just wouldn't come to the design review hearing. And of course, appealable to yourselves, the Planning Commission, should anybody have an issue with the action that was taken by the administrative design review process. So I just want to be clear, this is not a, you get to submit whatever you want in any other district other than commercial and you get your home free. We still want quality projects. Staff is still going to review everything with our staff review committee and make sure everything meets all the health and safety requirements of any of our other departments and divisions. And staff will make sure that, you know, these projects are good projects. And if it's not, we, the director, still has the authority that if it's not a good project, we have the ability to bump those projects up. And the code gives us that authority. So if somebody proposes a project and it's not a good project, you probably won't see administratively us approving it. You'll probably see us bump it to either the design review committee or the planning commission as applicable. On top of that, any projects that require a major site plan review, those would still come to planning commission for review as well. They just wouldn't go to design review prior. So thinking about a project of, I think it's Prologis. Prologis would skip design review committee. We would still do administrative design review, and then it would come to planning commission. So they're just, we're kind of trimming out or streamlining the process so you don't require so many public hearings for projects that are not in or not historic. It's really the difference.
Madam Chair, I have a follow-up question. I think it's the other side of that equation. You know, the resolution talks about, and you use the word too, streamlining, you know, that this is sort of an effort to streamline. Do we have a sense from staff in terms of what that looks like in terms of the non-historic districts that would then be administrative design review? Is that, you know, we're going to see 30, staff will approve 30% of the projects, 40% of the projects that would have otherwise gone to the DRC. So I think her question is helpful in terms of what projects would have not gone, but I'm just looking for the broader volume of that. Do you have a sense?
Yeah, volume is an interesting question. Mm-hmm. As you know,
why is that?
As you know from being on the Planning Commission, we've had to cancel Planning Commission hearings this year due to lack of items. We are not getting a lot of new development projects, and we haven't been getting a lot of new development projects. So when you're asking about volume, it's a little difficult for us to predict or to specifically say how many more projects would either come in because there isn't a design review process, or how many of those projects would skip design review. It's kind of a hypothetical.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Defer to the chair. Yeah.
Maybe related to that, is there a timeline that you could give us where, you know, going through design review would be shortened by X amount of months or, you know, sort of?
Yeah. So, timeline savings is sometimes difficult to quantify. On the staff side, when we start preparing for projects to come to design review, and that would also require Planning Commission, we have two public notices that need to be done, one for design review and one for Planning Commission. So we would have one less of those, one less staff report, one less presentation, one less appeal period, and then the notice following. So it's probably a matter of a couple of months. But on top of that, I think from the applicant side, it's probably a, as I think as Hayden made in his presentation, it's a streamlined version of the process, and in a time where we're trying to attract businesses, new development, the less, I would say, red tape that's in the way. And that might have been part of the difficulty of answering the prior question, is how much more development would we get if we didn't have the design review committee process? It's difficult to say, but as far as staff goes, I would say it probably saves the process a couple of months. And that's assuming it's only one design review hearing. If it's a project that requires a design review hearing and then they have to go do some redesigning, come back, it could save 5 or 6 months.
So I think you just brought up a question that I was also wondering. I think I'm on this commission. Martinez, how long have we been on this? 6 years?
Yep.
6 years. And I've heard from applicants many a perspective on design review, and just not about the body itself, but just about the process and the public hearing process and multiple meetings at a public hearing, you know, meetings being continued and those sorts of things. Do we have a log or some context to applicants and their experiences, and are they asking for this, or their experiences in relation to Orange versus applications elsewhere in other localities?
No, this ordinance was brought about as directed by the mayor and the city council, as Hayden presented in, I pull back whatever hearing date it was, almost
yeah, it was
a
really
month ago.
Sometime.
They directed staff, and so whether or not they get feedback from businesses, the Economic Development Committee, or whoever else, that was the direction by council, and so that's why staff's here before you this evening.
Okay, and then just the other question, I mean, on... this is the first time this body's heard this. I mean, August 17th, 2020, I wouldn't say this commission, but the Planning Commission took action to recommend to the City Council to do exactly this, I think with some minor changes, but majority the same thing. And just curious, it didn't, that context, which to me seems to be important for the record and for the public hearing, wasn't included. And I'm just wondering if that was an oversight, or... if there was any context there that would be important to our own decision making this evening.
Yes, so on, let's look, the Planning Commission did review it for adoption on, it looks like, in August of 2020. And it didn't look like the City Council took any action after that. The relevance of it being reviewed by the Planning Commission before, I guess, is now on the record. So here we are again. Okay. Yeah.
To follow up with that, what was the determination that the Planning Commission decided on?
Recommend approval to the City Council.
Okay. I have a follow-up question on Commissioner Vasquez's question, if not conversation, about determination of historic property without, and I'm going to add on top of that, without a survey, a historical survey done mm-hmm. by a registered historian architect. Without that in hand, how can you really determine, without an architectural or historic background? I'm just asking the question, how do you make that determination?
We're not doing it without the assistance of somebody with a historic background. We have a consultant that has those specific qualifications.
Okay. I have one more follow-up question. I think it came up about the 300-foot on an historic or considered, or at least alleged historic status of the project, one being the Yamaguchi Tower in along the 22 freeway in Orange. Noticing within 300 feet of that project is soulfully almost and be silent because there's nobody around. Also looking at, and I don't know all these historic properties. I drive around seeing, wow, that's pretty amazing. Maybe the Angel Motel right there on Chapman before you hit, although not very nice looking, historic. So, and quite possibly to Irving Gill structures in town, one closer to the Eichlers and the other one on just off Tustin. So without knowing if it really is in Irving Gill, one could like really have to do the research. So I was just wondering how that seems like a very long process to do that.
I don't want to make it sound more simple than really what it is. However, we already do it in our current processes. This is not something new for us as a community development department of reviewing projects. This is what we do. We take in applications when people submit them for a remodel, construction, assign, whatever it may be, and we look at the projects, we do our analysis, and the projects that you mentioned, if they're determined to be historic, we would bring them forward to the design review committee for review, and the design review committee would get the opportunity to review them. Staff already does that in our current process, and I don't think staff has the a track record of demolishing structures without bringing them to the design review committee. It's very much a formal part of our process to determine whether or not something's historic before we issue a building permit or before we take it to design review committee. That's specifically why we have a historic preservation consultant on our team, is to help us with those specific items.
Okay, thank you.
So I just want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly. There's no changes to how historic determinations are made. That the process for determining something to be of historic value is not changing. It's always been done by staff in this process, and that's not changing through this ordinance.
I could maybe clarify that a little bit more. It's when the action is taken. The action, until an action is taken of a project that's going to impact that historic structure, there really hasn't been a formal determination. We don't take in a project and issue a letter or some type of document to the applicant team of this project's historic, this project's not historic. That is not a regular process for us. What we do is review the application. If we think it's historic, or if it catches your eye, like it would potentially catch ours, or if it's over 50 years old, we would review it with our consultant if we think that's necessary. But we would also look at permits. And if there's already been a major renovation on the project site, then we know pretty well that it's not a historic structure because it's already been through it. But if it hasn't, and we review it with our consultant team, and he says, actually, this one could be historic, well, then you're going to find that one in front of the design review committee for review. If it, the determination, among staff is this one doesn't really meet the criteria, we would still do a 300-foot radius. We would still do a posting on the site, and we would still make a determination that would be appealable to the planning commission. So then you would find it, instead of on design review, you would find it all determinations of ADRs appealable to planning commission. So it's the action of the approved project that's really the determination.
Madam Chair, I have just a point of clarification on the demolition portion. Is it my understanding that now the demolition ordinance will be applied outside of Old Town, whereas prior to this it was not, or was it because the Eichlers are listed on the National Register, and also individual homes, as Commissioner McCormick mentioned, all throughout Orange, that are listed on the inventory that are not necessarily within the district. Were those all applied prior to this, or is that a new? Is that new?
Pull it up right now.
I can't remember which section.
Hold on one second for me.
Because I think before it said within the historic district.
It says Old Town, but I'm going to pull up the specific section so that you have it in front of you.
The language was changed. It originally said Old Town Orange, and then it was changed to
any historic structure or any structure
district or yeah.
And structures deemed to be historic or over 50 years old.
Yeah, it was
potentially could be historic. So it's actually there's more coverage for demolition prevention than. With this,
yeah,
more review.
With the proposed, correct.
Yes, okay.
That was my.
I had a question, actually, since we're talking about that. On that same page for the table 17.08.02, the type procedure permit and hearing, under that site plan review major, under the DRC category, it lists A, but shouldn't it also list in parentheses 1 for the restricted to certain applications? I think the language reflects that, but I wanted to get a point of clarification on whether that should be an A1 for the DRC under that site plan review major column.
You're talking about the chart of 1708020?
Correct.
Yeah, I think that's one of our recommendations. I think we're going to fix that as well. Where okay. It says the one and it says restricted to certain applications.
Right. It doesn't say that in the chart.
Yeah, in the notes section, it's letter C.
Right.
We were planning on moving letter C up to be number one. So it's not as a reference to, you just see right there what the specific applications are.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if staff, we have a letter dated today, September 15th, from the Old Town Preservation Association. And one of the statements it makes here is that these changes provide no criteria for staff to possess any professional preservation qualifications. Just would be curious what staff's response to that would be.
Yeah, staff has a consultant, very well respected consultant, Robert Shaddle, that we have an open contract with. And he meets all the requirements of the Secretary of Interior standards. He does work. I've personally worked with him. This is the fourth city I've worked with him now. He meets all the requirements to be an architectural historian. He's actually the one that helped us with the city with the fountain as well when we were doing the restoration of that. So
any determination from your office would then come with the consultation advice of that individual or historic preservationist?
Yeah, if one day we lost him as a consultant, we would have to find either another one, or hopefully by then we'd have a preservation planner on staff that met that criteria as well, that would help us make that determination. And in situations, you know, one of the things we added over the last year is projects used to get submitted to our department for review that were in a historic area. And staff would have to go up and back with our historic preservation planner on whether or not it met the Secretary of Interior standards. Now, one of the requirements of our staff is requiring them to do a historic assessment. Those historic assessments have been very valuable for our team and for our consultant and for the applicant. We require the applicant to submit it with their project so that they already know what the historic features are their project or of the existing property, and then their proposed project needs to meet all the defined Secretary of Interior standards. So by the time it gets design review, they already have their own historic assessment for their project. That is also then peer reviewed by our consultant to make sure it's accurate. And all of the consultants that the applicants use have been, we have a pre-approved list of about 10 or 12 of them that the applicants could choose from. So by the time a project that's historic gets to a public hearing, we've done a lot of things to make sure that all of the Secretary of Interior standards are met.
Excellent. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Another question related to the packet that we received this afternoon. On that second page, there's a letter from a law firm stating that there may be the city's actions may be in violation of an environmental review sequence. Maybe this is a question for legal counsel, but can you speak to that and that letter?
Specifically regarding the CEQA allegations?
Yeah.
Without going into the defense of the letter itself, the way the code is written, still even with this, if a historic property is located within the city's historic district, whether it's Old Town or any of the Eichler districts, or if it's listed in the city's inventory, or if it's property that's 50 years old as determined by staff to be a historic property, then the current process goes through the standard design review process. Anything that doesn't fall within these parameters would still need to follow our administrative design review process, which will also factor in all of those CEQA requirements, just as they would as its traditional approach. So intent of this particular ordinance is not to circumvent any state processes.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Are there any?
Okay. Question maybe to respond or actually to ask about that. I'm kind of confused on wondering if the historic resource outside of the district inventory has been completed. The letter, basically, in both letters, say that, what's it called? I'm thinking about so many different things. It's MO something. Help me out. MOA?
MOU.
Which apparently there was an agreement between the city and OTPA and OLA to develop this preservation survey. And that's, I believe, what both letters are referring to. We haven't seen that. Is that correct? That hasn't been.
Yeah, just I could clarify that. And just for the words of just for the terminology. Yes, the city does have an MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding, with OTPA and OLA for them to help staff write an updated preservation ordinance. No, you have not seen that yet. It's in the works. It's a lot of work. It's taking a long time. And in front of that, the city council directed staff to bring this ordinance forward. So that will be forthcoming. It's something that we're still working on, but is not quite ready, and the council wanted to move forward with this, at least as appears from their direction.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any more questions? Seeing no questions, I will open the public hearing. Since there's no applicant, then we will open public comments for the public hearing. At this time, anyone who wishes to speak on this matter would have 3 minutes to speak for a public hearing. We do have some speakers already. The first one is going to be Reggie Mendekis. And please let me know if I pronounced your name wrong.
Hi, I'm Reggie Mendekis. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you tonight on this matter. I support this draft ordinance. I see it as a balancing of the interests. Projects have loans, especially commercial projects. And one of the problems you can run into is uncertainty in the approval process. And every public committee adds more uncertainty to that process. And this ordinance strikes a balance in that, in allowing, more review through more public process for historic properties, while allowing other commercial projects like the warehouses and some of the infill development to go faster by not having a second public committee review. What happens when you're in a project and you have a loan is that loan has a due date. So your goal is to get your project done and either sold or fully leased by the time that loan comes due. Because if you don't, you got to go back to your banker and say, you know what, I need to either extend my loan or get more money. And if you need to get another loan, it's going to be more expensive than that first loan, and your banker is not going to be happy. So we need to let things move a little bit faster. We still have safeguards in the system. There are still ways for the public and interested parties to flag challenges with projects and bring that to attention of staff to get problems worked out. So I support this. I think it's a step in the right direction to get our economic development restarted. And as staff pointed out, a couple of Planning Commission meetings were canceled due to lack of items. I think that speaks for itself. And I support this. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Our next speaker is Laura Sandoval.
Hi. This topic of limiting the scope of the DRC is very personal to me. I'm Lori Sandoval, and I've been in the community for 30 years. This is basically an example of a project that received administrative review and was circumvented by the city and not subject to DRC review. I have attended and presented to the DRC committee twice this year, and also, if you remember me, I've been here a couple times too. I've appreciated and been impressed with the DRC's insights, expertise, and professionalism. The questions they ask about the proposed projects have been extremely relevant. They're relevant concerning color, lighting, landscaping, building materials, effect on the neighbors, and many other relevant projects. These are the same questions that I've asked for the last 5 years about this project. I have made numerous requests for this project to be reviewed and critiqued by the Design Review Committee. I've been told personally by members of these committees that they would not want to live next door to this. This is where I live. OPA is an asset to the city of Orange, and in my opinion, it's not being preserved as it was intended. As an equestrian and someone who appreciates the community, I see it being destroyed by this type of infill development. The city needs the DRC and should not limit its scope. Shortcutting this process will make the city of Orange a less desirable place to live. I would ask this commission if their vision for the city of Orange is this. This city consists of more than just Old Town. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next speaker is Laura Thomas.
Good evening, Planning Commissioner, Chair, and Commissioners, staff, attorney. And I'm Laura Thomas, 40-year resident and of Orange and realtor by profession. I missed the August 12th City Council meeting, or I would have spoken there about the DRC. And I'm here to express my concerns regarding the DRC's scope of review of Orange projects. Of course, Old Town DRC should review, absolutely. I just want to make a point. This is the year 2025. If you're talking about houses that are 50 years and older, that's 1975. There's a lot of houses in Orange that were built in the 70s, so a lot more are going to come on the line. What I do not understand is why the majority of Orange will not be given the same review expertise that the DRC would look at for Old Town. They are the experts, architecture, landscape, and neighborhood compatibility. The DRC is important and critical to keep Orange Orange. It appears the council goal to streamline the process by shifting decisions to staff may be due to the given current financial circumstances of the city. To be clear, what may appear as a fix will possibly result in what we know as unforeseen consequences. What will Orange look like in the future? Hodgepodge, mismatched homes in neighborhoods outside of Old Town? With AB 2011, how will commercial zoned properties who by right can have residential complement Orange? One of the things I would say is the timeline for the DRC, I think that they would cut to the chase and move a project through faster because they're looking at the detail. And I think in the ordinance, it should be properties, the whole banana boat, not the structure. Orange looks to you to be protected, all of Orange. You are the stewards of Orange. Please include the DRC process for all of Orange. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next speaker is Robert Boyce.
Commissioners, if you'll indulge me, I'll read the letter you have before you into the public record. My name is Robert Boyce, president of the Old Town Preservation Association. Before you tonight is a proposed action to modify the municipal code and alter the role of the Design Review Committee, DRC. While we support narrowing the DRC's focus to historic matters only, we have serious concerns with the approach now before you. Last November, OTPA and Orange Legacy Alliance entered into a memorandum of understanding with the City Council to work with staff on a historic preservation ordinance. Since then, we have collaborated on a draft ordinance that fulfills the city's obligations, yet at the August 12th meeting, a divided council directed staff to move forward instead with this rushed changes that are now under consideration. When the general plan was updated in 2010, the city made commitments through associated environmental impact and mitigation measures. These included preservation ordinance, establishing a qualified review commission, surveying and inventorying historic properties, ensuring robust public participation, and creating a local historic register with clear procedures for listing and delisting properties. The current proposal does not honor these commitments. Instead, it strips numerous projects from discretionary reviews and pushes them into administrative approval by staff. It provides no criteria for the preliminary identification of potential significant unassigned properties, nor does it require staff to possess any professional preservation qualifications. Projects that are today would be reviewed under CEQA will now be processed behind closed doors with no public notice or input. This action is not supported by the general plan. It abandons the mitigation measures our city has been committed to for the last decade. And without a citywide survey in place, it heightens the risk of losing historically significant properties while silencing the public's voice in the process. For these reasons, we strongly disagree that this action qualifies as exempt under CEQA. The attached legal memorandum underscores those concerns. In contrast, the draft ordinance that we prepared incorporates the required measures, aligns with the general plan, complies with CEQA, and provides the framework the city promised to the residents. We respectfully urge that the commission to recommend to the council reverse course and return to the actions that are consistent with the general plan, that uphold CEQA, and that balance development with the protection of our city's heritage. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next speaker is Ann McDermott.
Ann McDermott, 10-year member of the DRC, speaking as a private citizen. Eliminating DRC review from new development in the city is a false savings of time and money and does not address the goal of streamlining the approval process. The DRC is only responsible for a small portion of the entitlement process and has no involvement until staff reviews are completed. The vast majority of delays are beyond the purview and control of the DRC. Incomplete submittals, inaccurate plans, missing details, design inconsistencies, site constraints, fire and police requirements, legal challenges, lack of financing, change of business plans, shift in market conditions, zoning anomalies, easement challenges, neighborhood pushback, and city staff shortages all cause delays. None are within the purview or control of the DRC. The DRC brings value to the city in all zones, not just the historic districts. The DRC provides a vital service to the community when large commercial, multifamily, or institutional development projects butt up against residential neighborhoods. Inevitably, there are issues with bulk and mass, lack of privacy, deficiencies of screening, trees, and landscaping, and insensitivity to the residential neighbors. The DRC balances the constraints of the site and its use with the requirements of the city and the impacts on the residents. The DRC has substantially improved many important developments by finding ways to reduce looming bulk and mass, correct windows that invade neighboring privacy, and ensure shade and screening for the community with adequate trees and sustainable landscaping. By resolving design issues before recommending approval, the DRC is streamlining the process for the Planning Commission and City Council. However, taking this review away from the independent DRC and giving it to the Community Development Director, newly merged with the Division of Economic Development, adds intense pressure to prioritize, quote, business-friendly decisions over consideration for quality design and compatibility with existing neighborhoods. Removing non-contributing historic structures from DRC reviews makes the historic districts even more susceptible to losses and demolitions. All of the Eichler tracts and Old Town are experiencing loss of historic fabric that goes unchecked. Windows and doors are being replaced, historic garages and sheds are being lost. The districts are experiencing death by a thousand cuts. Non-contributing structures should be more strictly reviewed, not less. Most have had inappropriate alterations. However, all are part of the historic district, which is the largest historic resource. Many could be restored to qualify as contributing structures. Instead, they are vulnerable to even more inappropriate alterations and even demolition. Please consider the benefits to the DRC, to the city, from the unbiased, independent work of the DRC. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next speaker is Adrian Gladson.
Chair, members of the Planning Commission, it's fun to be in front of you. It's been a while. I wish it was under other circumstances. As a returning member of the DRC in November, I'm speaking as a private resident as well. Previously served at the DRC as well. I gave you some e-comments on this. I really think that's the crux of the issue that makes me most disappointed, that again, we're rushing something through without engagement with the community, or even engagement with the design review committee members as they are now, or previously. We have decades of firsthand experience that we can demonstrate for you on exactly, there really isn't a problem that we're trying to fix with this. And we all know where this is coming from, because I can still tell you privately what exactly triggered most of this, and it's really not about streamlining. That said, we really should step back and really understand all the nuances. I heard information tonight from the director that is news to me. I'll go back and check it out. I really want to make sure we're correct and accurate. The information is also new relating to the California Quality Environmental Quality Act in terms of this action being exempt. I think the reference in the staff report was common sense exemption. That's a risky position to be in this time frame. But the bigger question here is, don't we want to do things correctly in Orange? Isn't that what we're trying to fix? I thought the old Orange way was dead. I don't think this example of rushing this through on August 12th is an example of it being dead. We consistently just slap stuff and throw it out there and hope it works and don't engage you, all of you, with us. This should be a joint study session. We can talk about the specific examples. You know, Prologis keeps being brought up. Again, it was pre-bought tonight. That project's been approved twice. You just approved it. It's not a problem. That's a review that they're used to doing. Developers know what the process is. There are administrative review projects that I don't know if there was an ability to appeal them. The reality in my mind, playing this all out, because this is what I did for 33 years, and I'm still working with private sectors. You are going to be busy. You're going to have to go back and get training and schooling. You're going to have to understand what architecture and plans and all the details. All of our duties are coming to you outside of the historic area. You're going to have to look at the mall. You're going to have to look at stuff on Chapman. It needs more work.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on this? Seeing no speakers, I will close the public hearing and ask the members of the Planning Commission for a discussion.
This is a question actually just about the resolution, not really about the material before us. The resolution, I think ordinarily when it goes, it's just technicality, when it goes to council, I think there's usually a line in there that references, you know, on this date, Planning Commission met and approved for, you know, recommendation to City Council. But what was before us is like the exact City Council resolution. Is that meant to be the case? It's kind of signed by the mayor, talks about the City Council.
That may have been a clerical error on my part. So we'll correct the record so that the form that is signed by the chair is accurate to whichever action there may be tonight.
And then just to kind of on the technical side, and I should have pulled it up here, but at least twice, let me just find the section here.
I might just chime into that. The resolution, I think it's the second page of the resolution, calls for the Planning Commission chair's signature with the planning manager, and then attached to that is an exhibit, which is the ordinance that would be taken to City Council.
Okay, so we're good there.
Yes, we are.
All right, I'll take a look at that. Thank you. So I'm on the, what I have before me is the red line version that was in our staff report. It's on page 9. And section 17 there at the top, multi-tenant buildings. And I think it appears later on for, no, this is it. But here just, I know what we're trying to say. We're trying to say that everything here is approved by the community development director, unless the three-prong test, right? It deals with historic districts with, you know, 50 years or older. Are listed in the city's historic resource inventory. The way I read it, one could read it to say that the or is you pick, you know, either the community development director or the design review. So I would just, you know, maybe if it's or by the DRC only when it's a technicality, but.
I read the same thing, and I actually have a suggestion in mind for the ordinance. And I what you're saying, it was on sections, my Roman numerals are bad, XV and XVI, so the two sections right next to each other. I read that same thing as you did. My suggestion is to add another section to the ordinance near the beginning, maybe in the opening 17.10.070, and define the term historic triggers as one located within a city historic district, two listed in the city's historic resource inventory, or three, involving a structure greater than 50 years old, determined by the community development director to qualify as a historic resource. That same historic trigger that's stated multiple times in the ordinance, to add that section, and then everywhere that exists to just call it a historic trigger. And then in those two sections where I think that it has the kind of the parallel structure is off maybe a little bit, reword those sections to say, approved by the community development director or design, or instead of saying it that way, change it to approved by the design review committee when a historic trigger applies, or by the community development director in all other scenarios.
Yeah, I think that does that. I almost would be inclined, that certainly does it. You could recommend that for approval, or just we can direct staff to clarify that. I think that does it, but.
Yeah, recommending to staff that we either take that language or similar, and we can look into a clarification on that. The way that it was proposed is just, I think, our typical language of everything is this, or unless it's doesn't mean. So we can take a look at it to make it a little bit more clear. That's a good recommendation. That's fine.
I had a question. in section 12, item 1, in reading that. And then going back to the staff report, in two cases, staff report section 9, environmental review. When reading the, I guess my biggest question is the staff report really doesn't have any bearing on what is in the ordinance. Whatever's in the ordinance is what is going to council and being signed by council. So what is in the staff report is not necessarily, because I see some potential conflicts between section 12 and item 1 and section 9, and also in section number 6. So those are the things when I was reading both, but I guess we could not respond to my question by saying whatever's in the ordinance is what's going to be.
Yeah, so definitely whatever's in the ordinance. We always apply the ordinance when there's a project for review. We don't apply the staff report. The ordinance is what is being voted on and what gets adopted by or recommended from Planning Commission, what's adopted by City Council, not the staff report. So that is correct. And I believe we discussed those items earlier this evening as to section 6 is the section that applies that would only have been in Old Town. And the suggested language is the three-prong approach, that if it's in a historic district on the inventory or older than 50 years. So that's the section we were talking about earlier, that we've widened the catch of what requires design review or a public hearing. If it's historic, right now it's just limited to Old Town. It will be larger than that. And then section 12, going to that section, again, that's a reference to Old Town, and the proposed language would widen that purview.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, I have a question of the director. At the August 12th meeting, towards the end of the discussion from City Council, there was reference regarding the MOU with OTPA and Legacy. I didn't get to see the exact finish. As this, if this were to go through, am I to understand that you're still working on finalizing that MOU and I don't know if this is making sense, but are you still working on it? Because the council wanted some specific answers to that. So are you working on that? That would go to them at the same time? And I do one other question. I was a little confused regarding the DRC versus this discussion of a heritage committee. Separate, or is that incorporated into the DRC? Do you know?
Yeah, I'll answer both questions. The first one about the MOU that OTPA and OLA did with the City Council, that they would work with staff to create a historic preservation ordinance. We are still working on that. That will not go at the same time as this ordinance. That ordinance is a substantially more larger amount of work. It's creating new programs. It's creating a register. It's creating processes to join the register. It's creating a Mills Act program, which is not currently in our code. It does many things that this ordinance that's before you this evening does not do. This ordinance that's before you tonight really just does, I don't want to say in simplest forms, takes some projects that are not on historic properties and changes it to be an administrative design review instead of going to design review committee for a public hearing. That is only the thing that's happening with this ordinance this evening. All the other things about creating a heritage commission, writing a preservation ordinance, creating programs for getting on a register or getting designations or applying for a Mills Act application and how we revise that. All of those items are coming and they will follow, but it's a substantially more amount of work than a red line of an existing code.
Follow-up question on that. That being said, with approval of this, without that survey, really the determination with a survey is far more accurate in terms of what is going to be in line to look at in terms of a survey and what's actually deemed historic. It almost seems like we would need to have that for this to work in the meantime. Now, if it's 2010, 2012, doing a historic resource plan, it's 2025. So how many years between this and the historic preservation for properties outside? And I specifically am concerned about properties that I don't know if everybody knows the Yamaguchi Tower, in terms of the architect of that. I was actually quite surprised. There's a story behind this, but I'm not going to give everybody the story. But in terms of another example, and I'll say without saying, the Yamaguchi Tower is the architect Yamaguchi. But there are also other properties that are within Old Town that are listed as non-contributory. One of them is the City Hall here, and one of them is the old Time Warner Cable building. Noted in a previous report that the architect was unknown. So that makes me kind of sit back and think, maybe we're going too fast here. Maybe we should discover where these gems are, and before we can make decisions. Because it's easy, even with my background, I was really surprised that Yamaguchi did that tower, but you can see the subtle details in the base of the tower. Now that I've said this, he's the architect who did the Twin Towers in New York City. So Welton Beckett, if you look him up, he's a significant architect in the Southern County Mid-Century Movement. And although the two structures that I referenced, City Hall, which he did, and Time Warner Cable, are listed as non-contributory in the register in terms of Old Town. So all those considered, I'm kind of concerned about not having all our proper information ahead of us before making decisions. So I'm kind of uncomfortable with this ordinance.
Was that a question?
There could have been a question in there if you didn't want to answer.
Sure.
I did ask a couple questions, but I think they were rhetorical questions.
Okay. Minoru Yamasaki was the architect of the former World Trade Center in New York. Staff is aware that he was also the architect for One City Drive adjacent to the outlets. That project will definitely be coming to design review. That's not something staff would miss. Same thing with the City Hall. We're very aware of this building as well. As far as when you mentioned the survey was adopted by City Council, and it's also included in our cultural resources section of our general plan by reference. We do have all of those surveys in our department and staff. We also have them mapped in our GS program. They're also marked specifically in our new land use entitlement permitting system that when somebody submits an application on any project that's on the inventory, it's flagged, and we don't just hand out permits. They're flagged and they get taken in for review. So we do, as staff, as I mentioned before, already have a pretty substantial review process for historic preservation. We have a monthly meeting, in fact, with Old Town Preservation Association when things get reported for code enforcement violations or whatever it is. The OTPA definitely keeps staff accountable on how those things are coming along and how those repairs are happening. historic preservation is kind of a major thing of what we do. And this ordinance is not intended to circumvent that. This ordinance, according to council and the direction we were given, is to provide a process that would be more administrative in nature for projects that are not historic.
Are there any other questions or comments commissioners would like to make?
Happy to make a few comments. Staff, I appreciate your responses to our questions, as always. I'll just make a few statements. I mean, again, I was on the Planning Commission when we heard this, supported it then. I'll support it now. I agree with Old Town Preservation Association's support of narrowing the DRC's focus to historic matters only. I think that I don't speak for us, but I think we would all agree on the importance of historic preservation in our historic districts and would want that. The input I have heard from applicants, and I think sometimes it's easy to think about applicants in terms of big developers and things like that. I'm thinking about particularly on North Tustin. Actually, I don't think anything came about, but I think there were 23 units that was in the family since the 70s. And it was inherited by the son. He wanted to do something with it. And it went through two meetings of the DRC, one meeting at the Planning Commission, only to go back to the DRC for lighting plan, entry color, before the issuance of building permits. And I think perhaps something like that would be warranted in our historic districts. I don't think so outside. We have professional staff. I really was concerned. I really needed that question answered in terms of would staff glean from the community development director's recommendation, would that come from a professional preservationist? And your answer helped assuage that. And I have heard from folks, and I think the city's in need of economic development. I think we would do it in ways that fits Orange. I think our staff understands that. I think what I've heard today is that there's in certain instances that the Planning Commission could appeal administrative design review action. Is that correct?
I don't believe we have a limitation on who appeals it.
Okay. So I think that
it states that any person who is aggrieved by an action can appeal to the Planning Commission. And in any actions by the Planning Commission can go to the City Council.
Okay. So I think that they're at the official answer. I think there's enough layers in place for us to ensure that we're being responsible in development and that we're being thoughtful in that way. So I'm prepared to support this recommendation to Council.
I also, my biggest concern was to learn about the process of designating properties as historic properties. That was also my biggest concern as well. And I think that Russell and Hayden explained it very well, how the process works and how there are many layers and many people involved in it and how they determine what properties have something on them that are historic. And I also was happy to hear that it's not just structures, that it's something on the property could be historic. It could be something in nature, like a tree. It could be a historic fence. It could be something like that. And that if there's one historic item on the property, then the entire property is now deemed as historic and goes for the DRC review because there's this one structure or element of the property that is historic. And so that definitely made me feel better about this. I have heard from applicants that Orange just takes longer than most other cities to get a project through. Something that they think should be pretty simple takes much longer in Orange than it does in other cities. So I do think that the streamlining is very needed, and this could be very helpful to have the streamlining. I do want to see that language change, just so that way that a historic trigger is defined in one place and not multiple times. I think that's just a little bit cleaner for the ordinance. Also, if the historic triggers ever change, that would be then a lot easier. You just change it in one place in the ordinance and don't have to search around the ordinance to change it in multiple places. So that would be the one change that I would want to see to the ordinance moving forward.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment about this. My father-in-law is Jeff Beard of Beard and Crockett Plumbing. It's been a long-standing plumbing company in the city of Orange on Catella. They sold the business a couple years ago, but before that, they had a process where they were renovating the property, and I heard no end of his frustrations with that process. This is before my time on the Planning Commission or any of that, but that's one anecdote, and the other is I've been on the Economic Roundtable for the last 2 years for the city, or here with the city of Orange, and I've heard from a number of applicants the same story over and over again. So this is something, my decision is not something I've come to lightly. I've spent a fair amount of time looking into this, and so I'm also ready to support this measure, this ordinance.
Just a comment. I also was a little hesitant when I heard this was coming to us. And after reading the document and getting questions answered by the staff, and thank you so much for that, I feel a lot more confident about where this is going and what it will do for our city and hopefully for our economy here, but also protecting our community at the same time. I'm glad to see that we still are applying CEQA, that we are protecting our structures from demolition in the same way, and that we are still respecting neighborhood aesthetics throughout the city through the staff's professionalism. So I just want to thank you, and I'm in support of this.
So if there, did you?
Yeah, I just want to make a comment. In terms of all that I've heard previously through the last four speakers, I agree with a lot of it. I see a lot of it. I understand a lot of it. I have to enlighten you that I was on the design review committee for 16 years. So I have seen both sides of the coin intimately. I think the DRC is getting a bad rap here. Years ago when Mark Murphy was still alive, he tried to kind of rein in the DRC back then, and I think that didn't gain much success. But I do want to speak from the design review committee people, since I was part of that for so many years, 16. Understanding that, and I hear this often, and it's unwarranted because people think the DRC are architects, landscape architects, and designers that just put their own whims on the project. And I want to dispel any of this notion that is not the case. Projects that meet all the ordinances and standards, whatever those standards would be in the city, the DRC is tied to each and every one of them. And I would say, from my point of view, I would make my decisions based upon that. Now, that being said, above and beyond that was architectural design and the understanding of design. Like many people have said, the design review committee are professionals. They have a license, and that license can be revoked if they don't do their job properly in terms of design. In terms of the public safety, being the utmost condition, above and beyond the comments that the design review comes through with are first and solely based on the foundation of what is in council-approved guidelines, ordinances, or specific plan areas. And upon that, if projects, I have to admit to you, in 16 years, we had a lot of projects. I can count on maybe both hands, how many were required for a second review. Everything went through because at the time, people were doing good design. And I don't think things were rushed. And people, there were complete plans coming in. There was nothing to say about them, so they were immediately approved at design review, which ultimately got approved by Planning Commission. So that's when it was working really, really well. I saw in over the 16-year period a decline in the quality of the drawings. I don't want to know if it's because of the internet that everybody was an expert, in terms of being a savvy architect, you see, I've made these mistakes before, and that's what the design review
licensed and professionals bring to that. And I've heard the speaker's reference it should be for all of Orange. I have to agree with that. I think wholeheartedly that it should be for Old Town, absolutely, because of the breadth of knowledge one would have to have an historic preservation background. I think it's important to have that extra layer of quality of design. Instead of having fast food, you have a finely cooked meal, and you have to wait a little bit longer for that. So that's where I come from. I can't support this ordinance at this time. Not to say that I can't support it once. I would feel more comfortable when the survey comes in from the MOU that is in agreement with the historic preservation people speaking up for the properties that are outside their districts. I believe the OLA is a legacy that isn't confined to the district that's protected right now. So that would be a key ingredient for this planning commission to know that that's been satisfied. So I'm uncomfortable that it's really, until that's in and out, I will change, and I read it, and it's all there, and the city has been surveyed. I have no reason not to vote for an ordinance that includes that. But at this point, that's not included. And I guess I could have approved it if we reviewed that first. So aside from my somewhat biased visions of a very, very noteworthy design review committee, I think I could go through a long time listing all the projects that were made better. We'll tell you specifically, Chapman University was the huge benefactor of that input. So that being said, that's being built. You know, you can all look at the examples of how well Chapman's been designed. Almost every one of Chapman's projects had 5 preliminary reviews. Chapman did not want a decision made. They requested the preliminary review because they wanted the collaboration of the architects, the landscape architects, the preservation people to enter in on what the architects were building on such a lofty campus. So I think that's the success story. And I think some of the, like I didn't see the Baird and Crockett in my 16 years, and I don't think I've ever heard of it going through design review. That being said, I think design review kind of gets caught up in the net of maybe some dissatisfaction of the process. The process is good, even when staff goes through it. They catch stuff that we approve once we see if they've caught it, and okay, unanimous. That was a lot that happened. Right, Russell? I mean, it's like we see that a lot. I'm just saying that I think design review shouldn't be getting a bad rap for this. I understand the reason why this is like this for a number of different reasons. I think we all can all recognize it. We don't have to verbalize it, but I think I would feel more comfortable if we were protecting the whole city rather than just...
Commissioner McCormick, may I make a brief clarification? So you mentioned Chapman University. Chapman University is currently within the Old Town Historic District. Therefore, under the 3-prong categories, it would absolutely, any project within that district, geographically located in that district, whether it's contributing or not, would actually go to DRC under the way this is written.
You're exactly right. And most of our reviews were buildings that were absolutely new buildings, and they requested the preliminary review. So that's a testament to how much they valued the design review. I would have loved to have Chris Olson come and speak, but he wasn't able. So I just wanted to give that so that people understand the design review really is a benefit to a lot of people. And to not have it, I think a lot of people would be shortchanged. That being said, I can't support this ordinance at this time.
Madam Chair. Okay, I'll keep my comments brief. Many of you have said what I was going to say, and I'm glad that, Commissioner, thank you for addressing that. And I feel bad that, you know, so many times lately when you talk about DRC, it's almost like you're demonizing them and they're the bad guys, and they're not. Ms. McDermott, Ms. Gladson, thank you for what you've done. You have served us. You mean well, and you've done a good job, and I feel bad that I hope that you don't think that we think any less of you. But we did bring this back in 2020, and So I'll be supporting this. But again, I thank you very much for you two for serving on the DNC. I've appreciated all of the input. In the time that I've been sitting here, I see what you do. I see how you address issues, and I thank you very much because it's been very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone, for the comments. So with that, I will make the motion to the motion to adopt Planning Commission Resolution 1025 recommending the City Council adopt an ordinance amending Title 12, Title 16, and Title 17 of the Orange Municipal Code to update duties and responsibilities of the Design Review Committee and find the ordinance categorically exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act per State CEQA Guideline Section 15061B3, and with two revisions to it, adding, I'm not exactly sure what section, but adding at the beginning of the ordinance, defining a term, historic trigger or something of that nature, that says one, located within the city historic district, two, listed in the city's historic resource inventory, or three, involving a structure greater than 50 years old, determined by the community development director to qualify as a historic resource. And then everywhere that long clause is placed within the ordinance to say when a historic trigger applies, as well as go through the ordinance and make sure that the structure of the sentences makes sense so that it says that the design review committee has authority when a historic trigger applies and that the community development director has authority in other scenarios. And I did email this to staff this weekend, so if you have questions on the language, they have it.
Madam Chair, if I may, so to clarify, you're asking us that specific language, not directing staff to...
I'm directing staff to add language similar to that.
Okay, great.
Doesn't have to be the exact language.
I was going to say, if that's the case, I want to...
Absolutely, no. I definitely want staff to clean up whatever I said.
Just appreciate the clarification.
What I read was the exact language I emailed staff, but you can change it as needed.
I'll second.
Okay, perfect. We have a motion and a second. If everyone could please vote. The motion passes 5-1. That adjourns the regular Planning Commission meeting. The next one will be held on Monday, October 6th at 5:30 p.m. here in the Council Chambers.